Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
There's a good chance that you're listening to us right now as you're driving or about to start to battle the afternoon rush hour. We all complain about traffic, but how bad is it? Well, a new WBUR poll out today finds that while most of us have a less than 30-minute commute each way, fewer than 10% of our poll respondents reported more than an hour-long drive, and we're talking one way. The poll also says 1 in 8 Greater Bostonians considered changing jobs to improve their commute. Well, joining us to talk traffic is Rosabeth Moss-Cantor. She's a professor at Harvard Business School and author of the 2015 book, Move, Putting America's Infrastructure Back in the Lead. Welcome back.
Thank you. I didn't have to commute to get here, though.
You're at the Harvard ISDN line, we should say, so that's nice that you didn't have to commute. We want to invite our listeners into this conversation as well. Has traffic made you consider changing jobs or leaving this area? How has your commute changed over the past few years, and are you better off driving in Greater Boston or taking public transportation? We'll let you know what our poll said about those questions as well. But listeners, if you want to weigh in, call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Facebook and on Twitter at Radio Boston. So, Rosabeth Moss-Cantor, let's go through some of the data that we found with you. But first, I just want to get initial reaction to some of the numbers that I just mentioned regarding the fact that fewer than 10% of our poll respondents found that they had more than an hour drive each way, and most have about 25 minutes on average each way in their commute. Is that about what would be expected?
Well, Boston's a small city, so it's much worse in some other cities. We have it very lucky in Boston. But what struck me was that most of your respondents said that it's getting worse, it isn't getting better, that they're very dissatisfied, and that half the people in the city of Boston said they were late to work in the last few months. So this is not a happy situation.
But is it getting worse, or is this just what we think? I mean, do we have actual numbers that show us how traffic patterns have changed over the past 5 years?
So I think nationally, traffic has gotten worse. There's more congestion. And if in Boston, 60% in the region, half in the city of Boston, drive their own car to work as opposed to take public transportation or an alternative, then it has to be getting worse because there are more people and there is low unemployment, so more people are trying to get to work, except for those people, often the poor, who are so inaccessible to jobs that they don't even have one, they can't get there.
One of the things that I found particularly interesting here was the question was, in the last few months, has the amount of traffic in the Boston region caused you to be late for work? If you drove, 40% of our respondents said traffic made them late, but 57% of the folks who use public transportation said that traffic made them late. So a higher number of folks, a significantly higher number of folks using a public transportation. What does that say? Of course, everyone loves to complain about public transportation here in Boston, but really, how much of this factors into our traffic problems?
I think that demand has been growing, not just in Boston, but all over the country, for public transportation. And when demand grows, that means there are many more people waiting to board a bus or to get on a subway. And also, your survey showed that a lot of those people complained that the train was too full to have room for them, or the bus was too full to have room for them. So it suggests that we have not modernized public transit the way we should. We kind of know that because we had a bad winter the year before this one. We know that's true. And people do want alternatives. They want to be in the city. They want to be able to walk. They want to be able to ride a bike if they can. But that's not possible for everybody. And so public transit is the best option. And if there's no room for you, you have to wait for the next one to come along, and then you're more likely to be disgruntled and even to be late for work.
You know, a third of the people in our poll thought widening highways to accommodate more cars would help. We've tried this before. What has history told us about this?
History clearly tells us that if you build more roads, you'll get more cars, and that we need a more balanced system where we have fewer cars on the road, because it's not just the traffic congestion, it's also the costs of congestion. Some of those costs are health costs. People who live near highways have poorer health. People who are breathing that air from congestion, our School of Public Health at Harvard has estimated that there are $15 billion a year nationally in public health costs from traffic congestion. Traffic congestion burns more fuel. It's not good for the environment. So building more roads to accommodate more cars is being stuck in the 1950s and 1960s. It's not the way that people want to travel today. And the millennials, the young people in your survey, were much more likely to want to take public transit. They are more likely to walk. They are more likely not to even own a car or have a driver's license. They don't want cars necessarily. It was the older people in the survey who were most car-oriented.
All right, I want to let some of our listeners weigh in on this conversation. David is calling from Georgetown. David, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to make, I'm firsthand experience of this. I'm a teacher in Lynn. I live in Haverhill currently. I would love to take the T to work. I would love to. I love the T system. It's way better than Philadelphia, where I'm from. And the problem is that to do so, I would have to take the T down into North Station on the commuter rail and then come back up on the Salem line to Lynn.
Right.
If there was another ring of T stations, I could potentially travel down south and then still take the T the entire way. But it's impossible, so I have to drive every day.
So modernizing public transit to make it a little bit more flexible would be your answer to the problem. Is that right, David?
It would be fantastic. I was in Europe, and in Europe, you have these other smaller rings of trains. So they go around the cities as well.
Okay. Thanks. Let's have Rosabeth weigh in on that. Have we ever thought of this? It doesn't seem like it's all that revolutionary here. Rosabeth, why is
there
here?
There have been discussions of this for many years, and for a while, Massachusetts had a very transit-oriented governor. Now there is talk about just a north-south rail link between South Station and North Station that would help people connect much better. So part of the problem with public transit right now that I found in my research all over the country, but certainly in Boston, is that many people who take it, particularly the less affluent, but also people who just want to take it, have to make too many connections and too many weird routings like we just heard, and that's what takes the time. We can't go point to point directly enough. That's why there are some innovations like the new urban pop-up bus system, Bridge, which is filling gaps. They're sort of mobile vans that are working through a technology platform. Boston is using it now. Those are also solutions because they're even more flexible than trains or subways.
What about 36% of the people in our WBUR poll said that they thought increasing tolls during rush hour would help? And we know that some cities have done this. In fact, in Florida, they're actually building new highway lanes where people would pay premiums to not be in traffic at all. Will these sort of pay-as-you-go ways of perhaps dealing with the expense of creating new roads, will these help?
Florida already has high occupancy toll lanes, and Seattle has them, and the experience shows that people are willing to pay a premium at rush hour. It's dynamic pricing. You pay for them according to the hours that you're traveling, and people are willing to pay a premium in order to go a little faster, but most people would rather not have to have a toll a minute. And there are other ways we could pay for the roads, pay for road repairs, cut down on traffic. congestion pricing. As an elected official had said to me recently, congestion pricing puts together two words the public doesn't like, congestion and pricing. That has never been very popular. I think people are just looking for ways to speed up their own commute. One problem is everybody's trying to go at the same time. We don't have enough flexible work hours to make it possible for people to vary their commutes depending on the days. There are lots of solutions. I think it's wonderful the WBUR is bringing this to the public attention. It's a major economic factor that we don't look at often enough.
I want to take some more of our listeners here. Laurel is calling from Barnstable. Laurel, you're on the air.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, I've been commuting from the Cape for about, off and on for about 20, 25 years.
To Boston really from the Cape?
Yes, to Boston, and now I commute to Quincy. And I was really excited when the train service was extended to Kingston and Plymouth. But I think that the schedules sort of show the lack of will behind public transportation in Massachusetts. The schedule is not really conducive for commuting, particularly from Plymouth. There aren't, especially in the afternoon, there aren't adequate times of trains running. And having taken trains in England and Canada, there are express trains. There's a lot of options, and it's much more convenient. I think that we really need the will to make this system work for commuters from all over, but the South Shore in particular. There are people that have been commuting, like me, for 10, 20 years from the South Shore and have very few options other than driving 80 miles an hour down Route 3.
Right. So again, it's improve our public transit system, and a lot of our problems might be alleviated here. A lot of our traffic congestion might be alleviated. Thanks very much, Laurel. We're hearing that again, Rosabeth Moss Cantor. Again, it's a similar issue that we have these trains, but are we actually designing them correctly to deal with traffic congestion?
Well, we also don't synchronize the schedules. We don't make it easy to connect. There's an airport in Providence, and for those who are on the south side who might want to fly out of Providence, small airport instead of Boston Logan, the Amtrak train goes whizzing by. The subway doesn't connect easily. These things aren't coordinated not only for the city of Boston and the immediate region, but also for the entire region. Clearly, if we had more and we do smart planning now, we could connect them. Most people will not care about which mode of transportation they take as long as they get where they want to go. Hopping in their car, that's expensive. Mm. And as I said, though not everybody can afford a car, not everybody wants a car anymore. So I saw in your survey this overwhelming support for public transportation. I guess the issue is in part how to pay for it, and how to get our public officials to see what a high priority it is.
You know, we spoke with Mike Goodman. He's a professor of public policy at UMass Dartmouth, and we talked about this high cost of commuting and commuter inequality. Let's listen to what he had to say.
The wealth of the job opportunities of the state are concentrated in the immediate greater Boston area. The cost of housing, the closer you get to those job opportunities, particularly in those communities that offer quality amenities, particularly quality public schools, has become very, very cost prohibitive.
So, Rosabeth Moss Cantor, how do you address that from a policy perspective, what exactly Professor Goodman was talking about?
Well, first of all, more public transit would help, including high-speed rail or even just low-speed commuter rail out to the hinterland. The more public transit that's built, development starts around transit stops, and so that means more jobs in those areas. So that helps by itself. So maybe people don't have to commute as far if there are jobs in their area. Clearly, we have to look at the cost of housing. More affordable housing in the city would help. But I think there's no getting around having to extend buses and trains out into areas that haven't had them. Maybe they're connectors, so we don't have to make all of it elaborate and expensive. But we have to be able to get people to where the jobs are and also encourage the jobs where the people are. There are a lot of service industries that could use low-income people and, in fact, raise their incomes if they're encouraged to locate in those rural and exurban areas where there are concentration of people without employment. We have to see this as a whole. I mean, we're not going to get America moving by not providing people with options. I mean, you can't walk in those areas. You can do it in downtown Boston, and people are doing it. We now have some bicycle sharing stations where you can leave your car, pick up a bike, go from the suburbs by your car to one of these parking areas, pick up a bike. Those things might be options as well.
Okay, let's hear some potential solutions from our callers. Ray is calling from Danvers. Ray, you're on the air.
Hi. I do a long commute, 70-mile commute one way. Oof. From Central Mass to the North Shore area. And I do a flexible commute because it just works for me. That's the other way I could do it. I think short-term, obviously, there's limited money to build roads, highways, infrastructure. Give companies incentives to have flexible work hours. You divide the traffic by many more hours. It'll minimize a great deal of traffic short-term. Secondarily, move those jobs further west. We expand the airport in one spot, expand the airport outside of Boston.
All right, interesting. How about moving the jobs, Rosabeth Moss Cantor? Is that an option?
Well, I hope we will move the jobs. I hope jobs will become more flexible. But the fact is, cities are incredibly desirable and getting more so. So we have to also solve the problems of getting around in cities. I think it's great that the last caller likes his job enough that he's willing to go through that commute.
Yeah.
But if we don't get America moving, we're going to fall farther and farther behind because it is getting worse, not better. We need visionary leaders who are willing to sell this to the public as a holistic regional plan. We don't yet have that in Boston, but there are some groups pushing for it, working on it. That would make a big difference.
All right. Rosabeth Moss Cantor is a professor at Harvard Business School. The WBUR traffic series is called Driving Us Crazy. It continues tomorrow on Radio Boston with a look at some of Boston's worst intersections. The entire series is at WBUR.org. Rosabeth, thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Deborah Becker, and this is Radio Boston.